For the past couple months, we've been bringing you clips of presentations from Nerd Nights, which happen in Kansas City, Lawrence, and all around the world. Past featured talks include how to raise silkworms and the character trope of vampire boyfriends as it's evolved in popular culture. Nerd Night KC is hosted at Mini Bar on Broadway Boulevard every month. The presentation we're featuring tonight is from John January, who is the executive creative director at Sullivan, Higdon & Sink, an integrated marketing firm in Kansas City. His nerdy topic, Beloved Monsters, a cryptozoological view of the world. John believes that the creative mind is filled with monsters. To keep them at bay, he seeks the truth about the monsters that maybe, just maybe, surround us in the physical world. Here he is.
For those of you who may not be totally familiar with the term cryptozoology, what it really means is it is the search for unknown animals. It is the science behind finding what people in this field call cryptids, animals that are undiscovered. I think it's important to sort of start with animals that we recognize were once cryptids and are now recognized by science. So if you take a look, the mountain gorilla was not recognized by science until 1902. Just this year, a new monkey was found. This is affectionately known as the sneezing monkey. Anytime it rains, this monkey sneezes, and that's because it doesn't have a f***ing nose. But honestly, a new primate just found this year. Famously, the coelacanth. The coelacanth is a big oily fish that the fossil record said was extinct. Every scientist ever, up until 1938, was like, "Yeah, that we're done with that thing." And it was rediscovered. It was hauled in by fishermen in 1938. So the fossil record was wrong. The coelacanth is not extinct. It still exists. So I think, you know, we sort of feel like we've got the world cataloged. We've got it nailed. We know what's here. But in truth, there are species that are discovered every single year. And it's not all millipedes and weird Amazon spiders. You can find primates still to this day. So it is sort of possible that these cryptids are around, and that's sort of what makes cryptozoology interesting, and that's why, you know, people pursue it. What you see here is a recreation of an animal called Gigantopithecus. Gigantopithecus, not made up, absolutely real. It was found throughout the world, and, you know, it's a giant ape. It's a giant, hairy primate, much larger than anything that we have today, much larger than a mountain gorilla, and it was actually a contemporary of Homo sapien. So we have been on the planet with this thing, and so perhaps it still haunts our nightmares. Perhaps that's where some of the stories of the giant wild man sort of come from. Here in America, we call this guy Sasquatch or Bigfoot. That's what we call it. Now, these are the states that you're going to see the most Sasquatch in. Not surprisingly, these are also the states that are the most heavily forested, have at least some kind of hilliness or mountainous. Now, this is not a complete list, because even here in Missouri, has anybody heard of the Momo? And in different parts of the country, in Florida and Louisiana, which is not listed here, but Louisiana is actually a hotbed of this kind of stuff. They call it the swamp ape or the skunk ape or the stink ape or anything like that. We're not the only ones that have these legends. Obviously, in China and Nepal, we've got the Yeti. In China proper, we've got what's called the Yeren. In Australia, we've got the Yowie. So across the world and across cultures and across societies, there's something in the race that is uncomfortable with what's in the woods. There's something there that bothers us. There's something there that feels scary. So that's what we call the hairy bipeds in the cryptozoological world. But turns out we're sort of scared of more than just the dark woods. We're also pretty scared of the water. So there are a lot of water monsters that we can talk about. Now, sea serpents proper are something that we've been dealing with ever since we went to sea. The legends of the Kraken, actually pulling ships down, all that kind of stuff. That's been around ever since there've been sailors. So the most famous water monster is actually what's known as a lake monster, and of course that's Nessie, the Loch Ness monster. So Loch Ness is a little bit out of vogue with those in the cryptozoological world. There are those that say, well, Nessie's probably dead. You know, the population there has probably died out. It's getting harder and harder to defend. But what's alive and well is Champ. Champ is actually Loch Ness's or Nessie's American cousin. Champ resides in Lake Champlain, which is a really big lake that is in New York State and borders Vermont as well. Champ's Canadian cousin's called Ogopogo. Ogopogo is in Lake Okanagan, which is in British Columbia. And Ogopogo has kind of a pretty close cousin that swims off the coast of Seattle and up the coast of British Columbia. And that guy's called Caddy, or the Cadbarosaurus. So beyond that, you know, another big bucket of cryptozoology is something where I kind of like to call them the nightmares. They're kind of ghostly and kind of ghouly. And you know who I'm talking about. There's Mothman. So these are the ones that usually have glowing red eyes. Everybody know Mothman? Everybody know the story of Mothman? Point Pleasant, Virginia, mid-60s. Everybody started seeing this weird Mothman creature. It had big wings, big glowing red eyes, really scary, bad Richard Gere movie, right? People were seeing the Mothman, and not long after these sightings began to become really, really prevalent in the area, the Silver Bridge collapsed, and actually collapsed with cars. It was a terrible tragedy. People died. And so Mothman sort of became associated as a harbinger of death, or this, you know, sort of, you know, physical representation of, you know, of a demon or bad luck that had kind of come to the town. So, but this kind of guy gets translated into a lot of different places. Puerto Rico and Mexico, we've got El Chupacabra, a.k.a. the goat sucker, a vampiric little creature that is often feeds on goats and sheep and other small ruminants. We've got the Jersey Devil, which is, again, with the horse head and the wings, apparently the spawn of an evil woman that haunts the woods of New Jersey. We've got the Dover Demon, which is kind of a gray alien type little, but this is smaller, so this guy was only like a foot and a half tall, and people were watching him slink along stone walls and, you know, Dover. So that's kind of how that goes. And I also lump into this group guys like Spring-Heeled Jack. This is an etching from a London newspaper. He's got the horns. He's got the wings. He can breathe white fire. This guy apparently liked to run around London's parks and rip women's blouses off. That's all he did. Didn't go any further than that because he was a Victorian monster. But, and sort of in this same class was this thing called the Mad Gasser of Mattoon. And this is Mattoon, Illinois. In the 1940s, people reported, you know, they didn't have air conditioning, so they'd leave their windows open or they'd leave their doors open and just have their screens open. And they began to be attacked by this sort of weird prowler guy that would come up to their windows through their doors and then somehow release this really sickly sweet gas that would permeate their entire home, and they would become nauseated or they would pass out. It was just, you know. So one of the explanations that people talk about is a term called pareidolia. And it talks about our brains are conditioned to fill in the blanks. We're conditioned to see patterns and make sense of things. That's what our brains do. It's why we're really good at Wheel of Fortune, right? Because we go, oh, well, I know what that is, right? Because we can fill in those blanks. It's also why, you know, we can see faces and, you know, and toast, right? It's why we can see dogs in the clouds. All this stuff, it is our brain filling out patterns. That's kind of how it works, and that's part of the reason why we see something in the woods or we see something in the water, and our brains can really paint a really vivid picture of something that's not there. It's not there, but our brains will say that it is. Now, another thing about this is that this talent is an evolutionary advantage, right? Because those who assumed it was a rock and not a bear were killed. And that's a survival instinct, and that's really an important one. And so we're sort of all there. So that's why we're sort of programmed to believe in these things. But in truth, I think that most people believe, and I want to say right now, despite everything I've shown you, I believe. And I'm a lot like Fox Mulder from the 1990s hit series X-Files. You know, I want to believe. You know, we want to believe in this stuff. We want to believe because we want to know that there is mystery and there is wonder in this world. And that no matter what Google says, they cannot predict what we're going to do with their algorithm, right? We are not that simple. We are not that uncomplicated. And the world is bigger and grander than science might tell us. And we want to believe because, guys, it's more fun to believe. Thank you very much.
John January on pareidolia, cryptozoology, and the beloved monsters in our minds and in the physical world. He presented at Nerd Night KC earlier this fall. For Casey Currents, I'm Suzanne Hogan.